Oil and the wine, kind that restoreth my soul.
He poured in the
Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one tonight. Appreciate those that's come out this evening. We want to turn again to Samuel. We'll get out of Samuel yet. You know, when I was preparing for this, what I want to share tonight, there's so many other messages coming. And still in Samuel, and I'm missing so much, you know I am. But it's a powerful book, isn't it? And I want tonight to talk about David and Absalom. Really appreciated yesterday the fella that shared for Lila's life, you know, it was really good. Lila Malks said a lot of good things, and brother Pastor Tim spoke really well at the service. And I tell you this, anybody that wasn't saved knew they needed to get saved, and it's great when you go to a funeral and it's like that, because you can go to a funeral and it's not like that. But the gospel was shared, and it was really good to see Paul again. And he was reminding me of the story the night me and him met in the Chinese. Both of us drunk. And I was drunk and he was drunk. And I turned around and I said to him, "You know better than that." And he said to me, "You know better than that." And that's the last night the two of us was ever drunk. We never drunk after that. God really convicted him that night. And the Lord was working on me then as well. And I can't remember whether I ended up in jail after that or what. I can't remember all the details. It's a couple of years ago now. but Paul's done well. The Lord used him. He went out to America amongst Indian people. And the Lord told him we need to stay there. And then his wife came to him and said to him, I believe the Lord wants us to stay here. So it was not good. And he stayed, and his two churches going now. And me and Paul was real thick at one. When I say thick, I don't mean thick, close. Maybe that's a better terminology. I'm still thick, but he's not. But it was really nice meeting with him again and getting a bit of chat and stuff. I know it was brief, and Keith as well. Keith went through a real hard time over this last few years, as we know, but the Lord's been moving down there in Limerick. And a lot of the people come up for the funeral. A brave lot of the church from Limerick came the whole way up for the funeral service, and I was really impressed with that. But praise the Lord. The Lord bless you tonight. David and Absalom. And let us turn to 2 Samuel. And maybe Sunday morning, I want to preach on something. And I know when I do this now, I'll have a real job to get a message for it. It's never good to do it. But I want to bring a Mother's Day message. I've never done it before, but I'm determined to do it this year. I don't know what it'll be. Just pray the Lord will help me. I definitely need his help. But let's read 2 Samuel 15, verse 13 to 18. Maybe we could stand just for the reading of the Word of God. 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 13 to 18. And I won't try and hold you too long tonight, but I have a lot of stuff, too much stuff to preach all the night. And then so many things just opening up with the scripture, but may the Lord help us what we need. And there came a messenger to David, verse 13, and there came a messenger to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. And David said unto all the servants that were with him at Jerusalem, arise and let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us and smite the city in the edge of the sword. And the king's servant said unto the king, behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint. And the king went forth, and all his household after him. And the king left 10 women, which were concubines, to keep the house. And the king went forth, and all the people after him, and tarried in a place that was afar off. And all the servants passed on beside him, and all the chariotites and Pelusites and Gittites, 600 men which came after him from Gath, passed on before the king. Let's just bow again, and if you have a need tonight, just lift your hand for the Lord. We'll just remember in prayer, praise God. And you remember me as well, praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just thank you tonight for your mercy and for your grace, for your love and your truth that you've showed toward us. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We bless your name this evening. We've come to bless it. Come to lift it. We've come, Lord, to see you. Come on other pages of this book, expressing yourself, manifesting yourself amongst us tonight by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I need your help this evening, and I do take the Holy Ghost right now by faith, and I thank you, Lord, you do undertake for me. Pray that for every hand raised, you know, every single need, every desire, every thought. Pray you'll meet every need, every desire, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Pray you'll forgive us every wrong thought, every wrong word, and every wrong deed. And I pray that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit tonight. And that you'll bless us from your word and inspire us from your word. And pray for the whole Moccasin family, Lord, has already been prayed. And just, Lord, that you'll strengthen them, that you'll comfort them and save them. And even for our own families, it's not saved tonight. We claim every single one of them and plead your blood over them in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. Praise God. You know, we saw last week, or maybe it's a week before, I can't remember, but David's fall through sin. And, you know, that must have fostered a lot of things that come out of it. And God warned him that there is going to be things later. You're going to have trouble in your family. And God told him that through his prophet. And this character of Absalom here, this man's a real character. And, you know, the fruit of the parents' iniquity can come on the children. And we know the Bible says that, we're reading here from the Old Testament, that the sins are visited onto the third and the fourth generation. Now, we're living in the day of grace today. We know when we come to the cross, that's deleted. That is deleted when we come to the cross. But we're looking at this from an Old Testament perspective just to bring out some things. And there's no question about this. The offspring here, the story of Absalom's a story really of the prodigal perishing in the far country. It is, you know, it's a real warning. And it's a warning for the lust of the eyes and so many things, the pride of life. And I want us really to look at this for a few moments this evening. And the first thing I want to bring out about this, and if you read through it, and I've limited what I've read because of other scriptures, but natural advantages does not mean God's going to bless. And there's some people, and they're brought into homes, and they have a natural advantage in that they're wealthy, or their religion, or their parents as Christians, but that does not really mean that's an advantage, really. I know the Bible says train a child in the way of the Lord, but you find many times that when the parents are real Christians, their children attack more, I think. That's what I believe. Especially pastors and preachers. If they can't get them, they'll go at the children. That's how it works. But you see these natural advantages, the exceptional, it was favorable. You see this man here, from the crown of his head to the soles of his foot, Absalom, there's nobody like him. He's beautiful. Beautiful to look at. This is the best looking man in Israel. This man, Absalom. And you talk about, you know, getting the women. This fella here could get any woman he wants. And the Bible says that he's a handsome lad. This is the whole picture what's portrayed about him. He's so handsome, he's so beautiful. From the crown of his head to his very toes, there's nobody else like him. That's how pretty he is. Sounds a bit like the devil to me. And you know, the devil was beautiful, wasn't he? But this fella here, not only was he the son of the king, but in his personal appearance, there was no one praised like Absalom for his beauty. He's praised for his beauty. From the sole of his foot, even to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. He was something else, I'm telling you. Look at chapter 14, if you want to go back to it, or brother, put it up. 2 Samuel 14, 25 to 26. But in all Israel, there was none. Now, listen to these words that I'm going to read you tonight. I never thought of this till I've got into it. And there's so many things you could take out of it. And I hadn't time to do that. But there is. In all Israel, there was none to be such praised as Absalom for his beauty. From the sole of his foot, even to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. And when he polled his head, listen to this, for it was at the year's end that he polled it, because the hair was heavy on him, therefore he polled it, he weighed the hair of his head 200 shekels after the king's weight. That's about 6 pound weight. So when this fella got his hair cut, he got his hair cut once a year, and it weighed 6 pound in weight. That's some hair. I wish I could get in touch with him. I'm telling you, I'd get some. But there's some people, and the powerful hair. They've really powerful hair. The better hair than other people. And they have to cut it often, because it grows so quick. And this man, Absalom's blessed. He's blessed with his beauty, and he's blessed that there's not a blemish in him, and he's blessed in that with this hair he has. And he pulls it once a year, and it weighs 6 pound weight. Now, there's a lot of things you could go into just on the hair, but I'm going to have to leave all of the hair of the night. But I was amazed at that, 6 pound in weight. But I, you know, out of all my boys, I suppose William, his hair grows quick. He's a real head of hair. My dad was probably the same, but I wasn't blessed like that. Mine waved me goodbye. Praise God. I had good hair when I was a young fella, but it waved me goodbye one day. Bye-bye and off it went. Now, but it's somewhere. I know it's somewhere, but I just don't know where it is, but it's somewhere. Maybe we'll meet up at some stage. But it amazed me that the Bible's specific in this. It's specific. Now, I haven't time tonight, but there's a message in the hair.
and the weight of it. Everything. See, when you read in the Bible so many shackles, and you can go into that and you'll come out with a message. I'm telling you, there's no mistakes in this book. Everything dovetails. But we'll have to leave that bit tonight. But what a terrible contrast there was in the moral of the spiritual nature of him. You know, from the sole of his foot, even to the head, there was really no soundness in him. Isaiah 1 verse 6, he looked good, but he had faults. Although he looked good, he had faults. And I tell you, hereditary advantages or disadvantages are not sufficient in themselves to make, you know, the real character of any man. You can have somebody in there can look the part, but that doesn't mean much. And in the New Testament, we are warned, if somebody comes amongst us and, you know, they're well gowned or, you know, they're looking powerful and all, doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean a thing. I heard the story, it was actually a true story, of a pastor, and he dressed himself as a tramp. And he went back to his own church. They thought he was on holidays, and he was. But he felt God led him, and he dressed as a tramp. And he put on filthy clothes and everything, and I don't know if it was a wig and whatever, he dressed himself up. And he went back in. And boy, I'm telling you, they wouldn't even sit near him or shake his hand or nothing. And they were having the service. And then during it, he revealed himself who he was. They were shocked. And I tell you, the Lord loves everybody. Everybody. And our standing, somebody's standing in out there in the world means nothing to God. They have to have the blood mark. Amen. But you see, Absalom had a wide door of possibilities open for him that he was able to command a faction of the men of Israel. And he was good, like 2 Samuel 15:6. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. He counseled them and he stole their hearts. He won them over and he gave them a wee kiss as they were going. And he got to the place where he was going to take over what David had. And it come to pass that David then had somebody against him in his own household, his own son. And that's something. But God had already warned them that these things was going to happen. But outward appearances, you know, 1 Samuel 16:7 says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance. This is when he was picking a man. Or on the head of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord saith not as man saith, for man looketh not outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So Absalom looked perfect, and the Bible says there was no faults in him. But God can see into a man's heart. God can see past the hairdo and the clothes, and God can look right into the heart. And you know, it's like a group of people, isn't it? You can have a group of people that's all presented amazingly. And they're like weak soldiers. And they're, how would you say it? They're instructed to dress a certain way and do things a certain way. But if God's never touched their heart, they're dead. They're dead as anything. They could look the part, but they're still dead. It's only the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, that gives life. Here's another thing, a revengeful spirit. And you read that in chapter 14, verse 23 to 28. Absalom, you know, he had a man killed. Now he had reason. He had reason for it. I believe he had reason for it. When you go through the story where the fella did something with his own sister. I'm not even going to go into it all. But you can read through it. And then the young girl was shamed. And she went and stayed in Absalom's house. And he looked after her and everything. And 2 years he waited to kill this other boy. 2 years he waited. He held the grudge for 2 years. And I tell you, it's a sad thing when Christians hold grudges. It's not right. When one brother or one sister, vice versa, holds a grudge against another for a long time, that's wrong. That needs repented of. And there's some believers do it, but it's wrong. And here Absalom, he'd done it 2 full years after Amnon's vile cruel deed had been been done, and he sets them up. He sets them up, and he gets them done away with, doesn't he? Now, time and circumstances had no power to cool the fire of his unforgiving temper. Now, he had a reason, he had a good cause. Its words were like honey and butter, while deceit was in his heart, really. And there's people, you know, that can talk to you, and I see it a lot. They talk you well, and they're nice when you're there, but they've other thoughts behind the scenes, what they really think of you. And it's nasty, isn't it? You know, maybe somebody you think, boy, they think a lot of me, but maybe they don't think much at all. And the Absalom here was one thing outwardly, but he's another thing inwardly. He goes as far as to deceive David and everything. And this is the way his heart was. 2 Samuel 15, verse 4 and 6. Absalom said, "Moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or case might come unto me, and I would do him justice. And it was so that when any man came to him to do him, talk to him, he put him his hand forth and took him and kissed him. And in this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of men Israel." See, outward beauty and inward deformity are ever characteristic of the hypocrite, aren't they? That's the hypocrite. Outward beauty and inward deformity, whited sepulchres. And the Bible speaks of it in Romans 10 and verse 3 about the whited sepulchres. Whited sepulchres. Now, a renewed opportunity Absalom had, and you can read about it in down through these readings. Absalom, who had fled to Geshur to escape the wrath of his father, is now, after the lapse of several years, restored to the favor of the king through the influence of his cousin Joab. Chapter 14, verse 33. Now, he's another boy. He's no good either. Job's no good, I'll tell you that. And Job, when you look at Job, and when you read through this, Job makes the balls and other people throw them. And that's like somebody that gives somebody else the words to say. They make them up and somebody else does it for them. And I tell you, that's a dangerous episode. And that's Job. That's the way he operated. And in the providence of God, he has another chance of making a fresh and more honorable start in his life. You know, and but he doesn't seem to do that. And God gives grace, doesn't he? Grace to choose the narrow path that leads to life. God gives grace. But there's people who refuse it. They don't want it. They want to continue on. And they want to stay on the broad road of the self-made way that leads to destruction. And there's many young men and women in our towns and our cities tonight, and they lightly esteem the things of God. They've no time for them. And they're privileged. You know, they can be convicted with things of God, but they push it off and they put it off. And 2 Corinthians 5 and 2 says, "Behold, now is accepted time." You know, I know of a man, and he's related to my own self, and I've asked to name him, you all know him well, but I won't. And he's a problem with the drinking. So I'll give you a clue. But one night he called for me to help him, and I thought, this is going to be it. And I went to help him and pray with him and everything, and he was close to it, but he refused it. He didn't want it. And he told me he didn't want it. He wasn't going to commit to God. And there's a lot of people come close, but they never commit to God. And I tell you, that's a sad thing, isn't it? You see, Absalom here is promoting his own self, isn't he? He's promoting himself. Absalom had put himself in the position to counsel these people. And he's promoting himself. And not only is he promoting himself, but while he's promoting himself, he's undermining David the whole time. And knowing that David's the rightful king and God, David's the Lord's anointed, and he knows all that, he's not the Lord. Absalom's not the Lord's anointed. God has not chosen Absalom. God has chosen David. But Absalom's beautiful. There's no blemishes in him. And he wins the people's hearts. and he's undermining David the whole time. It's a bad job, isn't it? And you would be surprised the amount of times David flees. When you study through this, David flees a lot of times. David takes fear a lot of times. This is the same David that the power of God comes on, he slays all these enemies. Isn't it a bit like William Branham said about the prophet Elijah, and he gives the word out to the Jezebel and all that, and then he's sitting at the brook, and he's almost defeated. He says, because the spirits went off him. And I tell you, without God, we get a boldness when God moves us, but it's hard sometimes of your own selves. We need the Lord's help, don't we? We need the Lord to continually anoint us and continually help us, especially preaching and all. In chapter 15, verse 1 to 6, you could read through it, but I won't read all the scriptures for the sake of time. We read a bit of it. Let me read chapter 15, verse 1 to 6. And it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when the man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, of what city art thou? And said, thy servant is of one of the tribes of Israel. And Absalom said unto him, see, thy matter are good and right. There is no man disputed of the king to hear thee. So he's basically telling there's nobody, the king's nobody to do this job, but here, I'll do it for you. He's promoting himself. Now, I don't believe that there's nobody of the king. And then if you really study this, God sets him up. I'll tell you that right now. Now, I know I'm jumping the gun a bit, but God sets Absalom up, for he's going to take him away. And he sets him up. He gets running for a while. You know, my grandfather used to have an old saying, if you give a goat enough rope, it'll hang itself. Now, I never knew what that meant, but I kept goats. When I was at school, my nickname was Heidi. Imagine getting a nickname called Heidi. Now, you younger ones mightn't know anything what that means. Some of you older ones. Who remembers the program Heidi and the goat snall? You don't even remember Gary's. Before Gary's time. I'm getting old, brother. But Heidi was a program that kept goats snall. But I had the goats anyway. And I used to graze them along the side of the motorway. And my granda used to tell me, don't be making that rope too long. Oh, but granda, my wee goat can get more grass, a longer rope. He says, aye, but if you never hear that old saying, give her rope. So Tommy decided to give her more rope, and she near hung herself. She went too far out, near hung herself. Had to shorten the rope. Granda knew, you see, he'd experienced it. You see, the forgiving grace of the Father instead of the mellowing heart. And I tell you that here Absalom doesn't want to submit to David. He's going to do his own thing. Isn't there people like that? Our own children can rebel. They can rebel against us. Now, I know what I'm preaching about. They can rebel against you, and they can decide they're not going the way you're going. And when they get to a certain age, there's not much you can do about it, only pray, which is a lot. I don't want to, you know, it's a wrong thing to say not much in the sense prayer is a lot. But they can go their own way, and you can foresee what they're doing, but you can't turn them. And they go on head first, fast as they can. And they can't patel. Do you ever hear that old saying? Oh, you'll not patel. You'll not patel, will you? You're going to run on. That's an old saying. Run on with a head down. But it's so true. And here Absalom, you see, he was doing his own thing, really. And it's the same with unregenerate sinner. They won't turn for the grace of God, but they'll go on, run on in their own pride, in their own ways, won't they? And Kings tells us about this in 1 Kings 5, verse 1. And self-glory, isn't it? That's what it is, self-glory. And after 50 years, Adonijah played the same proud, ruinous game, Kings tells us. And the Bible tells in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 18, that he that exalted himself shall be abased. And Absalom's exalting himself. He's going to take David's place. Now, he looks the part, and he can talk to people, and he can give them a kiss. But Judas Iscariot could talk well, and he kissed Jesus after he sold him for 30 pieces of silver, but it was a kiss of death. And here, that's Absalom Valley. This is open rebellion. Verse 10 of 15 says this. Look. And Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as ye hear the sound of the trumpet, then ye shall say, Absalom reigneth in his Brom. In Hebron. Had to get that right. Absalom reigns. Absalom doesn't reign. But Absalom was making it up that he reigned. And he made it up, and David heard about it, and David cleared. He cleared. Because he thought it was so true. And I want to spiritualize that a bit for a moment tonight. The devil can tell you he's going to do this and that to you. And sometimes we go on the back foot. But we need to realize the Lord's with us. And even though the enemy looks like he's going to overwhelm us, you know, one will the Lord's a majority. One will put 1,000 to flight, 2 tens of 1,000. And the Bible says a threefold cord's not easily broken. And I tell you, the devil, this fellow's a picture of Satan to me. Beautiful. The Bible talks like that of Satan, that he's the most beautiful cherubim. There's no faults in him. He was the leader of the group. But he rebelled. He said, I'll be like the Most High God. And then here's this fella here. He's going to take David's place. And he puts out the story and he gets it all set up. And he's been influenced with this Joab as well. He's influencing him. And he's a smart man. He's making the balls and Absalom's throwing them. And they're deliberately, we're doing it that David hears about it. And David thinks this is all true. And I tell you, the hypocrisy mask is thrown off and the secret purposes of his heart are revealed. All this kissing and all was for a reason. All these wee things he was doing was for a reason. And there's a lot of people building their own kingdoms. They're not building God's kingdom. Then there's people that genuinely wants to build the Lord's kingdom. Isn't that right? You see, he declares himself as the enemy of the government of David, his father. And for possession and authority of the king, he wants to be king. And it's most suggestive that the 200 men, look, whom he had called and who went, you know, they were sympathizing with him in chapter 15, verse 11. Look at verse 11. And with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called, and they went in their simplicity, and they knew not anything. So he deceived them as well. They tell you he's good at it. Not the devil. The devil is a deceiver. It's the devil that deceived Eve at the beginning. And he questioned what God told her. And he gave her a part truth, but not the whole truth. And there's nothing as dangerous as a half truth. And he preached her a half truth. And she believed it. And then we're coming to the New Testament and we're warned that we're not to be deceived like Eve was deceived. And here's, we see this deceptor. Open rebellion against the will and ways of God is the ripened fruit, the secret self-created life, isn't it? And as long as ungodly men can gain some worldly advantages by their false pretenses, that's what they want. Isn't it the same on the internet and all them things? People can portray something, but when you get to the bottom of it, it's false and it's fake. But it looks good. And you know, the day is coming when you know, every secret's going to be revealed. And when you read through this, God says this. God says this, and he tells David that the sins will be revealed. It's coming a day they'll be revealed. But unfortunately, Absalom's an untimely death because God's not finished with David. Absalom thought he was his own son. And I tell you, I'm going to close in a moment. But in chapter 18, 19 to 14, let me turn to this evening. And I want to get to this as a close tonight. And I haven't said probably much, but chapter 18, verse 9 to 14. And Absalom met the servants of David, and Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of the great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between the heaven and the earth, and the mule that was under him went away. David's men's ended up fighting against Absalom's men. There's war, there's trouble, which God had foretold them. Now, even though David knew Absalom done all these things, David warns all the men, do not harm Absalom. What do you think of that? I'll tell you, that's the heart of the Lord, isn't it? Even though he's done all this against them, and when we are reviled, we are not to revile back. We are to forgive our enemies. We are to pray for those that despitefully use us as person. That can be hard. Sometimes that's not easy. When you know somebody's done something and you're not to blame, they're to blame. But the Holy Spirit comes on you and says, forgive them and pray for them. And David here is a type of Christ, isn't it? And David says, do him no harm. He's guilty and all that. Sure, he knew he was. But he warns them. But he's caught between these trees. And there's one man, one of these servants could have slew him, but he doesn't slew him because he fears the words of David. But that's all their politics. He can't wait to get killed him. And he kills him. The one man said, even if he offers his 10 coins to kill Absalom. And the man that he meets says, if you give him 100, I wouldn't do it. Because he's the son of the king. Son of the king. But he took it on him. And I tell you, the son of the king came to the cross. And he was caught up on the tree. And the enemy had no fear to slay him. And the Bible says, the bulls of Bashan compassed me about. That's the demonic powers entrenched him. They compassed him about. And Billy Sunday said, when Jesus was on the cross, if it had blinked an eyelid, 10,000 angels would have took him to the cross. But he stayed on the cross because he loved us. And the enemy had no fear, but the enemy didn't know it was God's doing. And this whole thing was God's doing because God had a bigger plan for David. And I tell you, God's ways are not our ways. We can't always know God's plans. It's like a preacher to get up and preach. You can prepare your notes and have everything sitting perfect, and you can get up there. The Holy Spirit can just move you, and you'll just go a different way. But what about land by the Spirit of God, don't we? And here he's caught up, you know, and David weeps. David weeps. When David hears the news, David weeps. David's sorrowful. David's sorry. He loved his son, didn't he? He weeps over Absalom. Even though he'd done all these things, David weeps over him. Bitterly weeps. And look how the Lord wept over Jerusalem when he was here on the earth, the person of Christ. He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And he goes into the parable of the hen gathering the chickens. I often would have gathered you under my wings, but you would not. God loves the world tonight. Jesus wants to save. We talk about praying for, and we do, but the Lord wants to save people. But some people don't want saving. They're blinded by this world. The Bible says the God of this world. You see, in riding into this wood to escape the servants of David, he rode into the jaws of death, for the head and pride, the beauty, was caught between two branches of an oak. And in the mule whom he trusted went from under him. And you know, it could have been the hair. Because he had such great hair, it could have caught him up. The hair could have played the part. The part that was his beauty was his downfall. The thing that we're all his pride was caught up in the tree. And he was caught up and couldn't get out. And the mule went on and he stayed. And he was trapped. Whom he trusted, this mule, that went from under him. And I tell you, we're to trust no one, only the Lord. If you depend on the arm of man, you depend on a broken stick, I'll tell you that now. No matter if he's a servant of God or who it is, every man's capable of falling, but Christ's the one we need to trust all that. Isn't that right? It's the Lord we need to look to. Heaven and earth are utterly unfit for either, aren't they? It is very different when the redeemed of the Lord, Psalms 40:2, Job's treatment of of the unfortunate pretender was cruel and nasty, wasn't it? Vain in his mind, saith the Lord. I'll repay. Job stepped up, didn't he? He stepped up. He set him up. He set him up. Then he stepped up to wipe him out. That's the devil. The devil promotes some people. And he sets them up for the downfall. But this is the Lord we're trusting tonight. He's greater than the enemy. I'm going to close tonight. There's so much more, but I'm not going to go any further. And we need the Lord tonight, don't we? We need the Lord's help. We need the Lord's guidance all the time. We can't depend on our own arm of flesh. It would fail. You know, I remember years ago, and I hope Uncle John doesn't mind my saying, but years ago when I started going to the meetings and praying and all, John says to me, I'm going to tell you something. And always remember this. Never forget to pray for your own self. And we need to pray for ourselves. And that's scripture. Jesus said, pray our Father which art in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. We need to pray for ourselves. Because we're living in wicked times, aren't we? Evil times. And we need to pray for others as well. We know that. But may the Lord help us tonight. Let's just come and bow our heads this evening. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this evening for your mercy, for your grace, for your love and your truth that you've shown toward us. Lord, we thank you tonight to the world. You were marred more than any other man. Wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity, the chastisement of our peace was upon you. But by your wounds, your stripes, we're healed. Thank you for the sacrifice of Calvary tonight. Sacrifice of the Lamb of God offered up to bear the sins of the world. Lord, we need your help. We need your help tonight. We need your help if thou wouldst tarry for tomorrow. Father, we pray for your leadership, for your guidance, for your wisdom. We just pray you'll have our way in all of our lives. We do pray for Brother John tonight as he prepares to go to Australia. We ask you to bless him and anoint him. Give him your wisdom and guidance and have your angel go before him. Pray for Frank as well, that you bless Brother Frank as well and inspire him as well, Lord. Do them good. Pray for Andrew Beecham as he prepares to come here. Pray you'll move on all of us. Move upon the people of this fellowship. Oh God, stir our hearts. We need a stirring. We need a moving. We need an outpouring of the Holy Ghost amongst us. We're asking you tonight to move amongst us. That Christ will be uplifted and glorified. Pray for those that couldn't make it tonight, or sick or afflicted, or laid aside, that your hand will be upon them, that you'll bless them and heal them and touch them and do them good, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Save our children. Move on them. Move on our sons. Move on our daughters. Move on the husband and the wife, the aunt, the uncle. Lord, you know everyone connected to us. Pray you'll move on them and save them, Lord, we pray. Even as we heard yesterday, the coming of the Lord's at hand. You're coming again. And you're going to take a group of people of this earth to be with yourself. Father, help us to be ready, watching and waiting. And help us to be winning others to you. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Pray for everyone in this house tonight that you bless them and meet their every need. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Let us just continue to pray.